So just some announcements this morning. There are offering envelope boxes available as well as tax receipts this morning. So please see Kevin if you need to pick those up. Wednesday night, we'll be having our Bible study this Wednesday, January 17th. We've been looking at people in the Bible and what we can learn from them. So this week we're continuing that study and we're going to be looking at Boaz. So there are some handout sheets on the back podium with scripture and some questions to prepare for the study. So if you're able to, come on out. And even if not, help yourself to one of the sheets. It's good good time to spend time in God's Word, even just to work on the handout sheet. The search committee members are asked to briefly meet me here up at the front after the service for just a minute. I just have something to give you. But continue to pray for our search for a pastor. The posting is still posted on the Canadian Baptist website. And so just search committee members, please see me following the service. Also continue to keep Karen Bryant and John Nadek, who's here this morning, in prayer. They both had some knee surgery, so keep them in prayer. And some of our church family have experienced illness this week, so pray for people within our own congregation that have any illness. Also, Judy Bryant and Christina Wiseman need prayer at this time. And keep in mind that Anne, Jane, Carol, and Julia will be traveling home from Africa, from visiting family, so please keep them in your prayer as well. Our speaker for next week will be Mr. Stuart Cameron, so we look forward to having him. And today we're so happy to have Mr. Mike Morency from Matthew House, so we look forward to his message in just a few minutes. At this time, let's go to prayer as we petition God for our needs and give him praise. God, our Father, we thank you so much for all of your goodness, for all of your blessing. We thank you for even the winter and the snow. It's so beautiful to see it. And Lord, we just know that the seasons we have are so refreshing as they change. Not every part of this world has that. So we thank you for where we live. And we thank you for the beauty of your creation that we see as the seasons change. Lord, we just thank you for each person here. We thank you for the ability to come and to spend time in your house, singing your praises and hearing your word. Lord, we just thank you that it's a living word. It's not something that we can listen to and just walk away and forget. Lord, you have a message in it for us. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and Lord, we need to take your word and apply it to our lives, examine ourselves and see where we need to change. And Lord, we just pray that your word will speak to us this morning as we worship here together. Lord, I just thank you for each person that's here. Lord, we just pray for those that weren't able to come this morning. We pray for health concerns within our church family. Lord, I pray for continued healing for John and for Karen as they have knees that need to heal. Lord, I just also pray for Christina Wiseman, who's not feeling well today. Lord, I just know that there's other people in our church family that have colds and other health issues. Lord, I just pray for each concern that we may not even be aware of. Lord, I pray for Jim and Carol, especially Carol's health. Lord, you know the needs there. Lord, I pray for Bob and Sylvia, for Mary. Lord, I know that there's many needs, but you not only give us strength to carry on, you bring healing, you bring comfort, and Lord, we just thank you for your presence with us. Even when we sometimes feel like we're alone, Lord, we know that you're with us at all times. Lord, I just thank you for this church and for each of the speakers that come so willingly to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for the preaching that we've had over these years without a pastor. Lord, I just thank you that you have a plan. We may not see it, and Lord, at times we get discouraged, but Lord, we just thank you that we know that you're in control, that we still have the ability to come here together as a church body and family and to worship you. And Lord, we just thank you for the preaching that is always from your word, and that's so important. Lord, I just thank you for our community that surrounds us. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that this church can be a lighthouse. We thank you for the barbecue in the fall. And Lord, as we go through the winter months and look forward to the spring, we look forward to more opportunities to reach out into our community. Lord, we thank you for the food bank and the number of families that we've helped with food just in our neighborhood this year. And Lord, last year, and we just look forward to continued ability to reach out, to meet people, to help people in their need. And Lord, you thank you for the continued supply to keep our shelves stocked for our food outreach. Lord, I just thank you for our country that we live in. Lord, I know that we can all be critical about leadership, but Lord, you've put us in this place. You've put leaders in their place. And Lord, we just pray that leadership, people that are in leadership, will look to you for direction as they lead and do their job and represent our area in government. Lord, we just pray that you will turn hearts for the people that are in government that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Our country was viewed as a Christian country, and we don't always see that sometimes now, but Lord, we just know that you can turn hearts. You can bring revival. You can bring change. And Lord, we just place that all at your feet in your time. Lord, I thank you for Mike and for Matthew House and for the care that they provide to new refugees that come to Canada. And Lord, this is such an important ministry. So, Lord, I thank you for all of the hands that serve in Matthew House at both locations that touch the lives of people that are coming into our country. And it must be so overwhelming, but, Lord, this is such a great mission outreach, and we just pray for their continuation to be able to serve you in this way. We thank you for that ministry. Lord, we just thank you for all of these things at this time, and, Lord, there's more items that we could bring to the list that we can bring to you, but you know our needs even before we realize we have them. So, Lord, we thank you for your provision, for your care, and for all that you provide to us. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a second. Would you guys like a little bit of an update from Matthew House first? Awesome. So, overwhelming. Dawn referred to it in her prayer as sometimes an overwhelming need, and really this past year has been. But here's the neat thing. When you step out into a place that is overwhelming, but God has called you to it, God shows up. God leads you through it. And we have this thing at Matthew House called God Math. Do you know where God Math is? Isaac, do you know what God math is? Or Isaiah? Sorry. Different man of God I was speaking to. You don't know what God math is? Does one of your sisters know what God math is? Okay. God math is when you take 1 plus 1 and you end up with 4. Look at the looks on their faces. That's awesome. That's exactly what I was hoping for. That's God math, and God math is when there's this need, and before you even really have an opportunity to express it, God provides. And God provides in such unique ways you are left with the very clear declaration that it was him and nobody else. And that's what we've seen this year with Matthew House. As you know, the numbers coming out of COVID of refugee claimants coming into Canada started going up again, even quicker than they were pre-COVID, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And Matthias was going, okay, we're back in this situation where we're having to turn all kinds of people away from shelter. We're still trying to meet their needs for settlement, but we don't have enough shelter space. And then they opened up the hotels and they started putting refugee claimants in the hotels. And we took a step of faith and we hired another full-time staff and we bought some computers and we opened up an office at the hotel. Well, then God gave us opportunity to lease the former House of Sofrasine right here in the West End, which gave us another 11 bedrooms. There's 48 men, women, and children staying there. That was not on my radar 1 year ago. My dear wife will tell you, last year was supposed to be a year of just settling and putting pieces in place and policies and practices and tightening up our operation. So that's now the goal for 2024. Please. But God provides and has provided every step of the way. And it's going to be an interesting year because I've told you guys, and some of you are going to be number people and some aren't. And if you're not a number person, just let these just kind of go blah, 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 through your in one ear and out the other, okay? But when I was hired at Matthew House, the 15-year national average for refugee claimants entering the country was about 27,000, and that started going up. And 2019, the last full year before COVID, we had 65,040 refugee claimants enter, more than double the national average for the previous 15-year period, right? So then many of us thought, okay, coming out of COVID, those numbers are going to go up. None of us were prepared for what we have seen. We have seen we don't have the December numbers yet, but as of the end of November, we hit 128,000 refugee claimants arriving at our border requesting refugee protection. Like that's, you know, five times that previous national average. It's a 500% increase. And Matthew House is grappling with that. We're doing our best. Thankfully, the federal government is providing some shelter and some basic needs for people that are accepted into the hotel program. But the reality is we don't want people to just have shelter and basic needs. We want them to have help telling their story because they have shelter and basic needs, but they never get help to tell their story. Chances are they're going to get sent back to their home country where they're not safe anyway. We don't want them to just have shelter and basic needs because we want them to very quickly become self-sufficient contributing members of our community. But our systems in this country are not necessarily set up for that. So as many of you know, Matthew House is 100% donor funded, and this past year financially was certainly tough. But again, God math. Early in the year, there was a church that closed and gave us a very significant donation from the proceeds of the sale of their building. And we had planned, our board and I, of putting that into our reserves with the hope of using it to purchase our building in Forest Glade. But God had other plans. God knew that we would need those funds to pay our bills because without those funds, we would have run about a $45,000 deficit. But again, God math, he knows every need and he provides for it. And when he's ready for us to buy that building, I know those funds will be there. But thank God for that church. But financially, it certainly was a rough year. And as we head into 2024, I'm really going, okay, Lord, we're going to need more God math. Because donors, I mean, everybody's feeling the pinch of inflation and economic conditions. And I'm not here today saying, give more, give more. That's not... I'm here sharing about God's provision, and I know that he will provide, and I'm sharing the vision with you guys, and there's one exciting thing I want to share with you today, and that's part of the way that our system is not designed to cope with refugee claimants is with their health care. And two things. There is something called interim federal health, and when refugee claimants reach a certain part in their process, they're eligible for that. However, despite 26 pages of doctors and practitioners in our region who signed up to accept interim federal health, the vast majority of them don't. so it's hard finding doctors for them, especially specialists. And then there was an increasing number of people, because of delays in government processes and things, an increasing number of people who are not yet eligible for social assistance or interim federal health. So people's health care, we've really noticed, has been not being met adequately. And again, before I even asked or started having conversations with anybody, God brought us a sister in the Lord who's a nurse practitioner who was looking at a career change, and we are now working together. And at both of our locations, we're setting up a health hub, a health clinic, where we already have a couple of counselors to be able to provide mental health support. And now we have a nurse practitioner who will be coming in to each of the sites at least one day a week to provide some health care and make sure people get connected to the health care that they need. Again, all with the goal of seeing them very quickly become self-sufficient contributing members of our community. And you guys have heard me talk about those numbers before and how quickly that happens, and we want to maintain that. So that's just a quick update about Matthew House. Maybe not so quick. I could go on forever and ever. Any questions about Matthew House? No? You ready for me to get on with my message? Awesome. All right. So you guys may have seen me pull this backpack up. Hey, Isaiah, can you help me for a second? Come on up here for a minute. Isaac. It was Isaac, and then I corrected myself thinking it was Isaiah, and then Isaiah stuck in my head. That's all right. Either way, it's a man of God. Thank you for helping me. So do you take a backpack to school each day?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it heavy sometimes?
Yeah.
Is it as heavy as this?
No.
All right, sit down. So sometimes we get ready to go on a journey, and this year I want to talk to you guys a little bit about going on a journey in the new year. And so when we pack for a journey, we pack the things that are important to us, the things that we need. So I just packed a few things this morning that kind of represent you know, what I carry around with me. So you guys already heard my shaker this morning because I love music. So that's got to be in my bag. And then let's see here. All right, so of course there's my tablet, because I've got to have that, you know, to be able to function, quite frankly, but also to, you know, if I want to watch some TV, if I'm sitting around, I want to play some games, I want to puzzle, I got to have my tablet in the bag. I've got to have my family, you know. That's a lot of weight to carry on, but got to have my family. So we'll put them back in the bag. And, I got to protect myself sometimes, so there's my knife, right? Because, you know, I've got to protect myself, right? And then talking about protection, there's got to be my video camera, because, you know, you got to keep an eye on the world all around you, because, you know, otherwise you're going to be anxious and afraid, and yeah. So I got to have my camera, and what else do we got here? Oh, I've got to have my wealth. So I've got to have all my bank cards and gift cards. I've got to have that with me, because, well, you never know when you're going to need your wealth, right? And my hard drive. This has all my precious memories, all my photos on it, all those things that are really important to me, all my writings, all my heartbreaks. That's all on there. Oh, and there's my grief book. I've got to have my grief book with me. You know, gotta make sure that I never forget my grief, because that's just really important to me. And of course the Bible. You know, I wouldn't be a good Christian if I didn't have my Bible in there somewhere, right? So just make sure that's in there. And my favorite addiction. So some of you are laughing. I'm a little disconcerted by that. I think that means you know me a little bit. But my favorite addiction, that's gotta room for that. Got to get that in there. Oh, and of course, you know, my work, right? Sometimes it's hard keeping things together. So I got to make sure I've got my staple in there, so I'm ready for my work. So yeah, so that's my backpack. So That's kind of what I'm going to take on my journey this year. So, I'm ready to go. You guys have a look on your face, exactly what I was hoping. You're going, what in the world? Here's the thing, church. We often, at this time of year, set out on an adventure or on resolutions that we want to talk about, or that we want to achieve. For me, I dreamed for many years of riding a bike across Canada. I think that has come and gone, the opportunity to do that. You never know. But do you think I would be able to do that with this backpack on my back? Right? See, we all walk through life with things that we're carrying around. Now, research shows that 50% of adults in North America make a New Year's resolution each year. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? A few of you? Okay. Less than 50%, or you're just not admitting it. What kind of resolutions have you guys made in the past? Anybody willing to share?
Failed.
No, but what kind of resolution did you make?
Lose weight.
That's the number one. It's been historically the number one. Lose weight or get in better shape. What else? Anybody? Nobody? You've already got the... Oh, Dawn. There you go. So this is from a 2015 survey, and researchers identified these top resolutions: to lose weight, get fit, eat better, drink less, quit smoking, manage stress, get organized, help others, I'm glad that's in there somewhere, fall in love, save money or get out of debt, go back to school, find a new job. But I think my favorite is found near the middle of the last paragraph in our graphic, and that's to reread the Bible or to read the Bible more, right? Become optimistic, clear clutter, be kinder to myself, start a business, survive cancer, learn how to roll a joint. People have issues. Interrupt others less. I think that needs to be on my list. Dance more. Oh, I would like to dance more. I love to dance. Anyone else like to dance? Anyone else dance when no one's looking? Yeah, yeah. Do it when people are looking, because really, it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, the same research also showed that 88% of New Year's resolutions, say it out loud, fail. People fail for one of three main reasons. Go on to the next slide there. And then click the three times. There we go. Unclear or unrealistic goals, failure to gauge your progress, weak self-control or self-regulation. Now, those are valid reasons. I believe, personally, that the Bible points to a more sinister, hidden reason why we often fail at establishing new routines, new behaviors, new attitudes. What is it that truly prevents us from grabbing hold of the new that God has for us? What is it that gets in the way? This morning, I want to look at what Scripture says about us in relationship with Christ and what that means for us as we seek to bring change to our lives. Can we do that this morning? Awesome. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would speak through me today, that you would be glorified, that, Father God, you would help us to see the things that get in the way of your plans for us, your hopes and dreams. Well, they're not hopes and dreams, your plans for us. Father God, I pray that you would reveal them to us as individuals, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what does Scripture say about those of us who have a relationship with Christ? First of all, in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been on a cross. I've never been physically crucified. I don't think there's anybody here that has. But there's this idea that when we lay down our lives in Christ, when we say, "You are Lord," we are allowing ourselves to be crucified. We are doing away with the old man to embrace the new man, right? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Everybody say that with me. I no longer live. Think about that for a second. That's a weird concept, because we all live, right? If hopefully, if we check our pulse, all of us here this morning have a pulse. If not, please let me know, and Kevin can call an ambulance. But, you know, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Church, that's the goal. The goal really is for this to be a Christ suit. Think about that. The goal is really for you girls, as much as your thoughts and your values and your beliefs and your identities are valuable, Christ wants to inhabit them. He wants to inhabit us. He wants to live through us. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, church, if you're a Christian, it's more than just a matter of having your Bible stuck in a bag to carry around with you. It's more than just having it as part of your identity. It is your identity. We need to seek to have Christ be fully manifested in and through us. Just as the Bible is the living, breathing Word of God, right? So God didn't take the writers of Scripture and turn their brains off and just use their hand. God inhabited their writing. So it is very much His Word breathed through flesh and blood. Do you ever think about that? So it's very much His Word, but it's breathed through flesh and blood as they allowed themselves to be carried along by the Holy Spirit in the writing of Scriptures. That's what He wants for us. He wants us to be crucified. In Christ, we are crucified. Secondly, in Colossians 3, 1-17, we are raised. And I'm going to be, if you're following along in your Scriptures this morning, stick your finger in Colossians chapter 3, because I'm going to be coming back to that. But it's the one verse says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." Repeat those words with me. Raised with Christ. So let's put those two together. I no longer live. I've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. How many of you have your heart set on things of this world? And don't get me wrong, I get it. I get it. You know, whether that be someday in the long distance future finding a boyfriend, a nice man, or that be getting a nice house or a nice car or some other thing of this world, we are called to set our hearts on things above. Right? Was Christ worried about the new car? Was Christ worried about the house? Was Christ worried about, you know, getting attention from this person or finding a wife? Or, you know, He said, don't worry about any of that stuff. You know, God sees the birds of the air. God sees the lilies of the valley and takes care of them. Will He not take care of you? Put your eyes at a higher level. Set your eyes on higher things. Say that with me. Higher things. Because we are raised, and because we've been raised with Christ, so our hearts, so our sights should be raised. Right? You hear me on that? Next thing, in Christ we are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, and that's what we just talked about, right? We've been crucified, it's no longer I that live, we've been raised with Christ, so now ideally we are in Christ, right? So if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Woo! The new is here. I struggle with that sometimes because even at 53 years of age, I still struggle to see the new in me. There are still things that I struggle with that I've been struggling with my whole life. There's still baggage that I carry around that I've been carrying for 53 years that gets in the way of the new. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But lastly, in Christ we are complete. Colossians 2:9 to 10 points out that in Christ we are fully furnished for life with an abundant supply. 1 Corinthians 13:9 to 11 builds on this by reminding us that for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. Now, church, if all of this is true, making and keeping New Year's resolution should be a snap, right? We should just be able to, oh, I'm going to stop eating junk food. I'm going to stop watching so much TV. I'm going to stop watching porn. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop stealing. I'm going to stop disobeying my parents. I'm going to stop whatever it is. But Romans 7, 14 to 26. Oh, I thought that was in my notes. Says this, turn it in your Bible. If you got it with you today. Acts, Romans 7. It's on the screen? It is on the screen. All right. So we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Anybody ever feel that way? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? I put a lot of weight on over COVID, and that's not an excuse. Because some of you are laughing, but the reality is I have tried so many times, and I'll have a whole day, and I'm being good. And then all of a sudden, I sit there finding myself in the drive-thru at Tim Hortons having already ordered. And literally, I'm like, how did I get here? Right? Now, part of that is me and my ADHD and the impulsivity, which often happens later, more so later in the day. But the reality is we all have this place where I don't understand what I do for what I want to do. I do not do, but what I hate to do, what I shouldn't do, what I really don't want to do, well, that's what I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good, and it is. As it is no longer I myself that do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, for it is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good. How many of you have the desire to do what is good? Okay? The vast majority of people in society have the desire to do what is good. But I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. See, church, there are different terms that we use. And there's you know, repentance, and there's sanctification, and there's purification, and there's forgiveness, and all of these different terms. And I believe that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. His Holy Spirit enters in. But that does not mean that we are in our flesh perfected. As a matter of fact, rock your world a little bit, we will not be perfected here on this earth. I've met some people who are pretty close. My Grandma Green, I've talked to her about her before. She was pretty close to being an angel or, you know, something. Grandpa Green, loved him. He was amazing, less so than Grandma Green, right? But the reality is we all, regardless of age, struggle with our sin nature. And our sin nature is composed of that brokenness that we are born with, coupled with the baggage we carry around with us. Right? I know, and Kim and I have talked about, you know, for me, there's this idea that there should be snacks in the house. Because growing up, having snacks in the house was a sign that things were really good, right? And most of the time, snacks weren't in the house. But when they were, I knew that things were really good. You know, at the other end of the spectrum, my wife will tell you, if there is not milk in the house, I start having a bit of a panic attack. I'm a 53-year-old man. Give me a break. I'm going to have panic, not literally a panic attack, but I'm going to feel very anxious when there isn't milk in the house. Where is that coming from? That's coming from baggage that I'm carrying around from my childhood, right? There are times when I look and I go, oh, well, that pastor's doing so well. What about me? Well, what about me? That's jealousy. And where is that coming from? Insecurities that come from brokenness that I'm carrying around with me. Church, we all have baggage that we carry around with us. We all have these things that are influencing our thinking every day, whether we realize it or not. The struggle is real. The real struggle is not our desire. Because as Christians, I believe that we do desire to serve Him. The struggle is when we try to mix the new and the old. When we take new wine and try to put it in old wineskins. When we try to carry too much baggage around with us. Mark chapter 2, 22 says this, no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wine skins. Think about that. And that's a real thing, right? So new wine, they would sew new wine skins because it would be able to stretch as the wine fermented, right? And if it did break, okay, it's not wine. They would use the... the older ones they would use for water, because if it did break, it's water, right? It's not wine. They're putting the new wine in the new wineskins. So just like new wine, church, we need new containers for the new covenant we receive through Christ. For the rest of this morning, I'm going to be flipping back and forth a little bit between Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4 as we look at putting off and putting on and renewing. So, and actually, to be respectful of time, I'm going to encourage you to write those down and read those at home, those whole passages, Colossians 3, 1 to 17, and Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. But it starts with this, church. Go on to the next one. It strips with putting off your old self. I'm going to look at Ephesians 4:22 really quickly, because that's an important verse. Well, they're all important, but 4:22 says this: "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on," everybody say put on.
Put on.
"Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." See, church, the Greek word there that says put off the old self actually gives this idea of stripping yourself. Don't anybody do that here. But stripping yourself of the no longer new, worn by use, worse for wear self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Strip yourself of the baggage. Strip yourself of the tiredness. Strip yourself of the envy, strip yourself of the lust, strip yourself of the insecurities, strip yourself of all of those things that are corrupting the new wine that God wants to put inside of you, that are not going to be able to contain the new wine that God wants to put inside of you. The old ways of thinking, the old grudges, the old sins, the old struggles could be your favorite coping mechanism or indulgence, like my Coca-Cola or television. I confess, I struggle with those. You know, I would love to come home from work some evenings and have the clarity of thought to sit down and do some writing, but partially that's now how God has wired my brain, but partially I need to shake off some of those poor habits. And I'm being honest with you that that's a struggle for me. And I've got to decide, and I am working, my first struggle is to work on the diet. And then I want to get exercising once I get a better handle on the diet. And then I'm going to hopefully work on my energy later in the day so I can dig into some of those other things. Because you're not going to change them all overnight, but you do have to begin to put off or strip off. How many of you have ever seen somebody strip furniture or strip paint off a car? Some of you? It's a pretty brutal process. If you strip the finish off furniture, there, you know, you're adding a chemical, and then it's actually kind of cool to see, but the finish just kind of shrivels up and begins pulling away from the wood. And then you use a metal scraper and you scrape all that off. And then often they'll add more chemical and they'll use like steel wool to get it out of the little nooks and crannies. And then they'll use a different chemical and a brush to just get into the finest little cracks. And then they'll start sanding it. And you start with a coarser sandpaper all the way down to a really fine sandpaper. Right? That's that stripping away. And though this isn't in my notes this morning, I love car shows. And invariably, if somebody is restoring an antique car and they strip the body down, invariably they find there was a whole lot more rot there than they expected. Church, there is rot inside each of us. There is rot in some of the things that we're carrying around. And unless we allow God to strip us of that old self, we don't even necessarily know the rot that's there. You know, that passage in Romans that Paul was talking about, I don't know why I do these things. Well, God knows. There's a place of rot inside of all of us. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul, there being a place of rot inside of him that he didn't even know about? There was. Paul was being honest. And we need to be honest with ourselves and with others. There's rot inside all of us. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I guarantee you there's still something inside of you that God wants to strip away to reveal a little bit more rot. But the first step is the putting off. And the next step is the putting on. The new self. The new you. Remember, we've already been made new and complete. You guys realize that? And that's the amazing thing about our relationship with Christ. Even though we are, while on this earth, still imperfect, broken beings, positionally. Do you understand that word? Positionally? Do you guys understand that word? So, Amal, if I said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to put you in the position of principal of your school. That'd be kind of cool, right? You would have that position. You would have that power. You would have that authority. Would you have the experience of a principal? Would you have the education of a principal? Would you have the discernment of a principal? So you wouldn't be actually ready for that job, would you? No. But if I put you in that position, you'd be there, right? So positionally in Christ, we are perfected. We are sanctified. And we will be glorified. We will be perfected fully in the end days. But the reality is that we're not there yet. In the meantime, we need to put on our new selves. I think sometimes that our Christ-likeness is kind of like that special suit or dress that we only take out on special occasions. Does everybody have one of those? You know? The Greek in verse 24 says for us to sink into, clothe, or deck ourselves out in unworn, freshly made clothes of a new kind, unprecedented, uncommon, unheard of. So not the emperor's new clothes. You guys know that story, you know, where he was tricked into walking around naked, thinking that it was this beautiful outfit of clothes. But no, real, true, beautiful, unheard of, amazing new clothes. Now, I've never been a person who needed the newest and best clothes, but that sure sounds good to me. How many of you like dressing up once in a while? Not every day, right? I do too. That's a little secret. I love it and I hate it. I love dressing in my best suit and going to an event and knowing that I look good, knowing that I am representing my best self. Well, the reality is you can put a suit on but still not be your best self. I've met lots of people who are dressed really nice and fancy and they are still ugly, stinky, and you can see it a mile away. You ever meet somebody like that? Right? We need to put on our new selves, church, to put off and consciously take up that image, that life, that thinking that God has for us. And we need to be renewed and transformed. On to the next one there. There's a psychological principle that thoughts drive feelings and feelings drive actions. You guys know my wife's social worker. How often, Kim, do you work with a client where their problem is really their thoughts, what they're thinking, what they're believing? 75% of the time, 90% of the time, 99.9% of the time. Probably 99.9% of the time. It's the thoughts, the things that they are believing that is then driving how they feel, and that's then driving their actions, right? So even that jealousy, right? Or that insecurity, or whatever it may be for you, it's coming from some faulty thinking. Another way to put it is found in Proverbs 23:7, which says this, and it's pretty straightforward. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's pretty straightforward. If you're thinking that you're less in your heart, or that people are rejecting you in your heart, then you're going to feel rejected. You're going to feel insecure. And then you're going to act on that. Right? Do you follow how that is? Isaac, you ever feel that something's not fair, that your sister's got something and you should have gotten it? Right? Did you ever act badly because you felt that way? I was waiting for him to go like this, but he's honest. Way to go, buddy. Right? But it starts with that thought, right? That it's not fair, right? Which it may not be fair. We used to tell our kids fair isn't equal because everybody needs something different and there's different ages and all of that stuff. But it starts with this thought. So the challenge here comes from Romans 12:2, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Church, in order to achieve the new, you may have given up on making New Year's resolutions because you're like, I made a million of them and they always fail, so I'm not even making them anymore. That's almost worse. Don't give up on seeking the new. Don't give up on seeking to become all that God has called you to be. My goodness, God's not done with you yet. If you're still here and you're still living and breathing, God's not done with you. So don't give up on becoming that new man, that new woman. Don't give up on becoming all that God's called you to be. It doesn't matter whether you're 10 or 100. God's not done with you. You're still here. He still has a plan and a vision for your life. He still has a perfected plan, a pleasing and perfect will for your life. But it means you got to shake off the old, put on the new, and be renewed and transformed. Church, someone once said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I always think of the nation of Israel, after they questioned God, and God said, okay, go into the promised land, and they sent the spies in, and 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, oh, we can't do it, there's giants in the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, so? With God, of course we can do it. But the majority of the people said, no, we can't do it. We can't change. They saw themselves through their own broken eyes instead of through the eyes of their Creator, who was wanting to lead them into the new. And as a result, they spent 40 years going around the same mountain. Some of us here today have spent 40 years going around the same mountain in our lives. And church, I just want to encourage you this morning as we go into 2024, God has more for you than going around the same mountain. God has more for you than the corrupted thinking that you've been walking around with, the lies of the enemy that you have believed, some of you, for your whole life. How can we possibly expect to become the men and women God has called us to be when we're lugging around our old selves, when we're lugging around our baggage, our old thought patterns, our old behaviors? We need to strip that off and begin to put on the new. So my challenge to you this morning, go on to the next one. And the next one? Or is that the last one? Okay. So my challenge for you this morning is simply this. To identify what part of your old self you're lugging around. And for you to put it off and put on Christ and his thinking. And that can be hard. Because here's the thing, church. Some of those things that we lug around with us are like a security blanket. I was tempted to ask my one daughter if I could borrow her weighted blanket. Have you guys seen these things? Okay, I love my kids, but a couple of them have these. I don't get it. Seriously, I'll hug you. I love you. But I want more than somebody needing that weighted blanket to carry around. God wants people to be free from those things that are holding you down. God wants you this morning to be free from those things that are weighing you down, even if those things that are weighing you down are giving you comfort. Because true comfort is only found in him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you that I'm not the same insecure little 12-year-old that I was at University Gospel Temple. I thank you that I am not the same arrogant 30-year-old who thought I knew better than leaders around me. I thank you that I am becoming not the same insecure man that I've been most of my life. I thank you, Lord, that you want to free each and every one of us from the old man. And I pray that in 2024, you would. That there would be more of you and less of us each and every day. That more and more we would see all of you and none of us. That you would fill us with your spirit, that we would be truly and fully and completely representatives of you here on this earth. That we would not act according to the baggage that we carry around or our brokenness and shame, but that we would be freed from them and we would walk in the fullness of your spirit with transformed thinking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.